Welcome to our podcast, Transparently Speaking. I am Diana, and I have a son who transitioned at a young age to become his true self.
And I am Joy. I have also supported my daughter to transition at an early age. We are here to share our experience and our learning along this journey.
We want to provide support and guidance parent to parent. And if you find yourself on a similar journey, we want you to know that you are not alone.
So let's dive in, Transparently Speaking. All right. Welcome, Diana. Back today. Excited to reengage here with our crew of listeners and with you. And just before we started this, you were sharing a little bit kind of what's currently arising for you. You're facing a little bit of a challenge right now.
That's right.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about it.
So as I mentioned, my youngest, Dinah, who was born with a gender neutral name, changed his name to Dinah, a feminine name, a year ago, you know, let us know that he was a boy. And we have, for a few months now, gosh, probably first started telling us over 7 months ago, but insisted on pronouns for almost 3 months now. And we're just slowly getting around to telling family because we haven't seen or talked to people. And we've kind of allowed him to tell family about pronouns. And this is not our first rodeo, as you know, and it's gone well up until my mom. So when my mom used female pronouns, my son said, no, I'm a boy, and I use he, him, his. And my mom said, what was that? And so I repeated it and said, he's been identifying as a boy, and he uses he, him, his. And she said, well, I'm not doing that. I changed his name. I'm not changing that. And I told her that was her choice. However, it would deeply affect her relationship with her grandchild if that's what she was going to do, and left it at that. So I was hoping it would take a little time to come around. And I spoke to an expert that works with young kids who's been helping us out. And, you know, she recommended to write a letter so that my mom would have a chance to read it and process it and react to it without us having to address her reactions, you know, just kind of giving her that privacy to react and not worry about our feelings and come back to it and reference it. And she said she would, you know, let her know that we loved her and let her know that we understood it was hard to wrap your brain around. And the final thing she said was, this is up to you and you have to decide with your own relationship. But one thing to consider is just letting her know that she can't talk to Dinah until she is ready, you know, accept Dinah for who he is. Like I said, she said, that's up to us. But she also said, we know how damaging it is to misgender people of any age, including kids, and what a drastic effect it has on there and their mental well-being.
So, Diana, I just want to make sure I'm kind of following the whole story here. So first of all, you get this big a windfall, right, with your mom, where she's been, it sounds like, informed by Dinah himself.
Correct.
Hey, grandma, or whatever, you know, language you use there. I'm a boy, and I'm hearing you say that your mom was willing to change the name, but not the pronouns.
Correct.
Okay.
I was going to say that the name, I think, for my mom was the fact that he had switched from a gender-neutral name to a feminine name was okay with her. I also think that she comes from a generation where, as a parent, you tell kids who they are. You tell them how they'll act. Like, it's a very authoritative background. Mm-hmm. And so for her saying, I allowed, you know, the name change, it was like, okay, I let down my authoritative rule that I would give a child that option.
So for her, that was already her giving.
Yes.
And she was drawing her boundary in this, but I'm not using the pronoun. I'm not using the he, him, his pronouns.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And so then I heard you say, so you engage with an expert or some support to try to support you, right, as a parent going through this and how you might engage with your mom. And I heard you explain the advice given was was confirming some of what you already know and believe in terms of how important it is to validate our children's identities and how damaging that can really be. And I heard you say the advice really was maybe encouraging you to limit your mother's engagement with your child until she's ready to step right. up.
Set those boundaries, which is, you know, a hard thing to face and an important one. And the way that I often explain it is when our kids tell us who they are, and if we tell them, no, you're not, you are who I say you are, then to me, that's loving them conditionally and not unconditionally. I will love you if you are who I expect you to be. And that is not the message I want to give. And that's not the confidence I want to grow and nurture in my child. And I had to give a lot of thought to it because I love my mom. I don't want to not speak to her. And I love my child. And I know how much he loves his grandmother. I don't want to set him up for a pain. I mean, I can't prevent my kids from having pain, and I don't plan to. At the same time, I'm not going to allow certain things to be okay, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah. I like, you know, you talked about boundaries. You're really, again, defining, well, what are the things that you might be able to influence or have some level of control over? And we know there's so many things in the world we can't sort of save our children from. But obviously, this is a space you do have some influence.
Right. And I have mixed emotions because in some ways, when somebody's misgendered, I can role model how you correct them, right? For all my kids, to be honest with you, because a lot of the older brothers are challenged when the youngest is misgendered on correcting it. So I get to role model what that's like. At the same time, I think there's a difference between making a mistake or discovering and intentionally saying, no, I don't see you that way. And I think we can set boundaries for that. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of thought about it for a while, and my husband felt like, oh, your mom will come around. You know, she had a hard time the first time around too. It took her a few months and she came around. But my reaction to that is she came around with a catalyst. Mm. She came around once her best friend said, this is okay, thanks to a Rolling Stone magazine article about Coy Mathis, the transgender girl that you got the right to use the bathroom in Colorado. Her best friend read Rolling Stone magazine, read the article, and all of a sudden, instead of supporting my mom and saying, yeah, this isn't right, said, you know what? You should read this article and maybe rethink about loving that grandchild of yours. So there was a catalyst there. Mm. However, I gave my mom the benefit of the doubt and tried talking to her the other day and just to see where she was at. And we were just talking about Dinah. Dinah's birthday's coming up. And mm-hmm. of course, I was referring to Dinah as he. And when my mom responded, she said she used he initially and then stopped herself mid-sentence and said, oh, wait, no, I mean she. And then went on to say, why do you insist on calling her him? You know, she's not a boy. You know, and I said, it's how he identifies. It's deep within him. It's who he is. And she said, he's not transgendered. He's not transgendered. Which, for our listeners, transgendered is the incorrect term. It would be transgender. But that, you know, that was the term she was using. That was not really the time for a vocabulary lesson. And I said, so you're telling me you know better than the experts that are supporting us, than myself, you know, who's done this work for years now, and then my child himself, no. And she said, yes, I do. I know better. Of course, the snarky side of me want to be like, then use the right terminology, but again, not the right time. not the right time. So, you know, then she said, she was in the middle of working, and she said, I need to go, and I can't talk about this right now. And yeah, that was that. That was it. So I know that she's not there yet.
Yeah. And so you've chosen to write a letter.
I did. I felt like a letter is a good advice. It gives me a chance to say everything I want to say. And I had to be in a loving state to do it. Like I really sat down and thought for a while about how much I love my mom and all the wonderful things about her. And so I could write that letter with the hope that she would listen and the hope that she'd be open to learning. And I addressed some of the things that I think are her concerns, like Dinah choosing a feminine name and Dinah having long hair. And basically what I'm describing is Dinah's gender expression and explaining to her that's different than his gender identity. And that his gender expression is very diverse, you know, like for his birthday, he wants anything from Barbies to Pokemon to Frozen to dinosaurs, you know, Star Wars. It's a beautiful thing, the diversity of his interests. However, I think it creates confusing for a lot of society, including my mom, who equate expression to identity and don't understand that it doesn't matter what he likes or how he wants to wear his hair or what clothes he chooses. It has to do with like who his internal sense of self, and he does not waver for a second on his identity. That doesn't mean I can tell you what he'll identify as in 10, 20 years. And that doesn't really matter to me. What matters is how is he identifying himself right now? So I just kind of explained a lot of those concerns I think she has and put a little education in there and told her how much we loved her. And I know how much she loves us, and that, you know, the reason we have to set this boundary is out of love, out of protection for our child. But we're right here, open arms, waiting for her when she's ready. Now I have to get the chutzpah to send it.
Okay, so you haven't said it yet. So you wrote a letter, haven't sent it. And for our listeners, and of course, because I'm curious, Dinah, what really is the boundary? How did you define kind of your request?
At this point, I would limit her conversation with Dinah. I'm not against talking to her myself. And if anything, it gives us a chance to have more conversation, I hope. And it also gives me a chance to hear where she's at. Mm-hmm. You know, a big thing is how people handle mistakes. Like, I'll know when she's trying to use male pronouns. And when she does that, when she makes a mistake, is it, oh, whatever, which to me is like, I don't really believe this, I'm just trying to appease you, versus, oh, yes, let me try to work on that. I get to hear those things if she, you know, keeps talking to us, and I'm not going to hold her back from the other grandkids. This is hard for me to say because I feel it's a hard decision to say, like, I'm holding her back from one. Yeah, I think that's what I have to do. I don't think there's one way to handle this. I just know how deeply painful it is and how, you know, again, my mom's not even close to acknowledging anything. So,
yeah, I can really sense, Dinah, the challenge, you know, in kind of the various thought processes you've gone through and writing the letter, drafting the letter, thinking about how you are going to make a request or what that boundary or line is going to be, and that's a really challenging thing.
Right. And I think holding me back from sending the letter, there's a part of me that's like, do I really want to set the boundary? I think I do. I think what's truly holding me back is being prepared for what comes next. You know, am I going to get an angry phone call? Are other family members going to get involved? I think that's the last piece I have to be at peace with in myself, that I'll be ready for any of it.
So I'm hearing kind of the last step of work you need to do before sending that letter is your own internal preparations and thinking through kind of what might be the result here in terms of how people, other than your mom, maybe engaging with you or maybe perceiving or responding to this situation.
Right. I mean, and to do nothing right now, we're not speaking to each other. So that's not where I want to be either. Probably after we finish this podcast, I'll send that letter so we can at least start moving in some direction. I don't know what direction we're going, but we're going to be going.
Sometimes just taking that first step is the hardest. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Dinah. It's a really personal situation and experience and a challenging one that you're in the midst of. And I hear fully the love that you have for your child and, you know, the best intent in terms of supporting your family and doing some of this amazing role modeling that you continue to do even for the rest of your loved ones. So I want to honor you and that here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Diana, looping in our listeners here, it's been almost a year since we recorded that first session in introduction to your son, Dinah. And I think it's time for us to give our listeners an update. Is that something you're willing to dive into today?
Oh, absolutely. So when we recorded, I was getting ready to send an email, and I did send it to my mom saying how much we loved her and how much I know she loved her grandkids, and that it's very important to Dinah that he recognized for who he says he is, and that she, or to use he, him, his pronouns, and that it may be hard for her to wrap her brain around, but, you know, please talk to us, ask us questions, and know that Dinah loves her, you know, the grandma, so much that we really need her to get on board. And she sent an email back, which we normally don't email each other, just FYI.
How do you usually interact?
We usually talk.
Okay.
But I think I started by email because I felt like I could be very thoughtful in what I said and say what I want and give her the room to process it, because she tends to react and defend quickly. So I thought I'd give her space for that. And think through her response. And her response was that she's never agreed with my husband and my parenting, that we are overly permissive and we're hurting our children. And we are doing the wrong thing, transitioning Dinah. I'm paraphrasing, of course. So needless to say, that hurt. Like when you get a message, like an email like that, it's like, that's all I could think about, and trying to like show up, be present for my kids after reading that and thinking like, how am I going to respond to this? Cause I felt like I had sent an email very much of love and acceptance and setting a boundary and bored, but insulted our parenting for all of our kids through time. It was really tough. And so I kind of sat on it because I didn't want to, you know, react right away. And I just sent her another email back that was like, you know, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. And, you know, this is what he needs to be called he, him, is, and seen as a boy, as he says he is. And we know it's very painful. And if you're not ready for that, then let us know when you are. And we can't set him up for that kind of pain. I basically said, like, you can't talk to him until you can respect who he is. But I'm here and I'll answer questions and I'll keep the conversation open. And I heard nothing for a couple of months until I got a call from my sister that said my mom had COVID symptoms. This was, you know, pre-vaccination. So, and my husband and I, being the medical people, my sister called us to be like, can you please get her to get tested? I know you're not speaking, but, you know, if you ask me, I wasn't not speaking to her. I had left the ball on her court and I was waiting for a response and I didn't get one and she didn't call anymore. And in fairness, I didn't call her either. But when that happened, long story short, we got on board supporting her. And we never talked about it again, but we started talking again. And it started out just us talking, you know, checking in on her, seeing how she was feeling, her symptoms, things like that. And when we started talking about the grandkids, she started using male pronouns. So there was never a discussion, but there still hasn't been a discussion. She uses male pronouns. And I think the point for our listeners, it's not always going to end happy like that. And I also think giving people room and space sometimes will help, and just let them know that you know, that you want them and you have this limit. Mm. And yeah. And so my mom had resistance the first time around with Clark, to be honest with you. It took her a few months and help from a friend. So I didn't expect it to happen the second time, but it did. Mm-hmm. And yet again, she came around again.
And I'm kind of curious, like, what was this window in time, right? So you had sent the initial email. It sounded like she responded pretty rapidly.
Yes, within a day.
Within a day. And then after your next email, it was, you said, months before then you had that COVID diagnosis and you started re-engaging in conversation, not related to any of your children.
Right. I think it was about a month.
Okay. But then as she was recovering and referring to grandkids, so within a month or two, she had somehow made a choice to support that request you made and started using the pronouns as requested.
Yes.
That's really powerful. And I'm guessing, like, brought joy to your heart.
Yes. The first time she said he, I was like, oh, thank you. You know, because I love my mom and I know she loves the kid. And I know it'd be hard on all of us to set that boundary. And I think it's a boundary to set. And when I set the boundary, it's not to, it's not because I'm going to do this because I'm going to make you change. It's like, no, I'm doing it to protect my child, not to change your behavior. Her behavior is up to her. But I know how hard it is when Dinah hears the wrong pronouns, and especially from somebody, you know, that he loves.
And is informed.
And is informed. Exactly. And knows. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. Dinah told my mom himself.
Mm-hmm. And yet it sounds like, so there was never any kind of debrief or conversation about the, hey, I noticed, or wow, mom, why did you change? Or thanks, mom, I noticed this.
No, because I think I was afraid to open. I thought of it as open Pandora's box. So like, she's doing it. We're good. Let's just keep going.
Okay, fair enough. And I'd like to offer to our listeners too that, as you mentioned, it's not always, we both of us happen to have quite joyful stories of loving family. And I know that both of us are very familiar with other stories of people who do not have support within even their immediate family, and kids who, you know, actually choose to leave in order to find a safe space where they can live their identity. And so I guess I just want to offer that perspective that it isn't always as joyful and perhaps as easy sometimes even as what we might be sharing here, and hope that folks can find the support they might need and know that there are individuals out there and support groups out there who may be able to open a door or offer a helping hand in whatever way might be required for any children who are struggling or family members who are trying to support them.
Absolutely. Yes. So the other thing I want to give credit to my mom is she's a fierce supporter. I think she just needed space. And I think a lot of her response was out of fear. Fear of harder life, fear of, I don't know, some of those things that I think are fairly common go through loved ones' minds. But she came around. She's a fierce supporter. And yes, not everyone's story is as ours, but also I think it's important to say there are happy endings as well.
That's a wrap on this episode of Transparently Speaking. Thanks for joining us today. Join us again on the 1st and 15th of every month for our next podcast.
Thank you to Filter for our awesome music. That's P-H-I-L-T-Y-R. Check them out at Apple Music, YouTube Music, Spotify, or anywhere you download music. As a reminder, we welcome your feedback and questions. Email us anytime at transparentlyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com.
If you're taking something away from our podcast, we'd appreciate if you'd take a moment to provide us a review. The more listeners and reviews, the more people we can reach and support. Thanks in advance. Cheers from Joy
and Diana.